We're gonna start with a doozy. This is the Holy Family at work. And there is more stuff in here than you can shake a stick at. We could do a 7-week course on just the Maroon altarpiece by the artist Robert Campin, who is, from where Belgium is today. Okay, around up in that area. So it's kind of Flemish, which distinguishes from German, really distinguishes from Dutch. So it's a beautiful style in their tradition. And some things to point out. Mary is obviously from a kind of upper middle class family. She's got nice furniture and a fireplace and all kinds of pottery and a fireplace that can heat the water when the baby comes. The kettle is on, ready to light up. We've even got a fellow that gets left out a lot in the nativity story, Joseph. And we got Joseph at work in his studio. Okay, Joseph works with wood. He's a woodworker. We'll point out what he actually makes in just a few minutes. The angel, this is a visitation. The angel is coming to Mary. But that's not all that's coming to Mary. I don't know if you can make this out. There we are. Here we are. We got rays of light coming through. And here we got a very friendly sperm. am I allowed to say that? It looks a lot like Casper, who's carrying a cross. He's carrying the cross, and he's heading for Mary's landing. I am so glad to know I'm not the only one that doubles over with laughter every time I see this. It is so delightful. You have to realize that people are creating the whole process. I mean, what does the incarnation look like? Where do you begin? But if you make it personal, or if you make it very human, you can actually identify a very spiritual truth. And that happens a lot in what it is we're trying to do. The angel is doing this, is announcing, and Mary is not really necessarily wanting to be interrupted because she's reading scripture. All right? While Joseph is working, somebody is knocking at the door and wanting to get in. They were afraid to interrupt anything, so they just left the door ajar and are kind of peeking in. The reason they have license to do this is those are the couple that paid for this whole thing. This is their painting. If you wanted to see this actual painting, it is in the the museum of the medieval museum of the New York Metropolitan. Yeah, they have a special museum for antiquity from the Middle Ages.
It's
in a park.
It's the cloisters.
Pardon?
The cloisters.
The cloisters is right. The cloisters, in fact, Rockefeller picked right up off of holy ground in France and moved it over there and built them a new one, looking just like the old one, but still he wanted the original. Okay, so there is looked like a relatively young family, and they are out in the garden, flowers. Here's a rose bush, and here is a strange fellow. The door is open, he just came in, but he is too polite to interrupt this. He is holding his hat and waiting to come in and visit with Mary. Why? Well, in the Middle Ages, when you had a king who wanted to marry, he would send his knight and his knight would go out into the hustings and find a proper bride and would bring back pictures. A lot of the artists of the Middle Ages made fairly good money by doing sketches of prospective brides. Okay? That was what it was about. And that is the guy. Now they finally settled on her. So he has come to call. He is the Lord's knight. He is holding a rose to present to Mary. You know what that makes him? A Rosen Cavalier. That's what that whole thing is about. So they take this out of the context of that event, that very human episode, and they apply it to God sending a Rosen Cavalier to help pick Mary. Okay? Very, very important. Now one other detail. Joseph is in his shop. He has a product that he wishes to sell to the people in the town. He has run a shelf out so people can see what he's got sitting on the shelf, which looks a little like a flat iron. It really isn't. It is a mouse trap. That is Joseph's business, making mouse traps. Now, a couple things to notice. One of the reasons that this winds up being an explanation of the whole event is a major sermon presented by Augustine, okay, where he describes the cross as the devil's mousetrap. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, so Joseph, if you could get a close look up here, you would see he's just crying. He knows what he's about here. Okay? The baby hasn't even been born yet. Mm-hmm. Joseph, in his work, is now caught up in that. So all of it, here is another thing. I don't know, Matthew, if you remember this game that we used to play in Uganda.
Mweso
is right. It's you move seeds. We were moving tea seeds around on a board with little holes. He is sharpening the holes with his awl. That it was called in the Middle Ages the game of life. Because very often the way people played it, the loser forfeited his life. It is, with some agreement, I think, thought that this was the game that the soldiers played at the foot of the cross. The game of life. They were vying for the robe of Christ, but they were also playing to save their own lives. So all of these kinds of scenarios getting in here, not just the birth, but the passion of Christ, that whole scenario, the whole life going through it. Okay?
What is it about the perspective of that table?
The table, this is not a good table. I mean, you can't slap these things up against the table and expect them. There's a little miracle going on in there. I actually, what you have is a variety of perspective. There are seven basic kinds of perspective, five of which you don't need to know at all. But one is pointal perspective. Everything comes, you know, to a vanishing point. Another is reverse perspective, where everything goes out like that. Orientals believe everything gets bigger as it goes away. Western people think everything gets smaller as it goes away. Somewhere in the middle, there is a perspective that says it begins by being this. If you really want to see it, walk up and look at it. Okay? So these people are walking up and looking at it, but the only way they're going to see it is if we tilt the whole table so it contacts their vision. Otherwise, everything would be put into perspective, and you would not be able to read what page the Bible is open to. You can do that. You would not be able to read this. Mary is also a lily, and that's her sign, one of her signs. And this is it's a picture, and it has the Mary story. Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women, but it is in, hold on to your hats, it's in Hebrew. Yeah. So you don't go to all the trouble of shutting the possibility of being able to read that in a painting, so you've got to lower the table and make the whole thing come at you straight on. Okay? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Richard, would you like a laser pointer? Because there is one. Are you okay?
Is it handy?
Yeah, I can take. Just keep on going, and I'll.
This feels like I need a choir or a drum. I think the expression is Mary is showing. Okay, I think that's a good way of describing this development in her pregnancy. Mary is showing. You hook him up and I got the gizmo. Huh? Oh, look at excuse me, folks. There's where Mary is showing. Next to the These are such a variety. Any given story in Scripture can probably be shown in 100 different ways. And I don't mean just Western, I mean Oriental, the whole smear of cultural distinction as you go from country to country, artist to artist, you'll find the differences. This is Italian, and it's on the front along with a whole wall of these bronze castings defining the life of Mary in the Italian cathedral. Fascinating. I wish we had the time so that I could just ask you, what do you think that is? What do you think that is? Now, this is Mary, and the angel is addressing her. This is just an absolute spectacular painting, because and be aware that in the day when a woman got pregnant and you didn't want to take care of her because she wasn't married, you send her to the nearest convent. This is not Mary and Joseph's house. This is a convent, okay? So she is in the cloister of the convent, and the angel comes to meet her. What else is going on?
Explain.
have this whole scenario, and this is Adam and Eve being chased out of the garden. Okay, now the artist puts that in exact company of Mary nulling and voiding that whole episode. You don't have to judge these people anymore because the Savior is coming and is going to erase that whole thing. But this is the story here, and it's powerful. It's very powerful and very imaginary that you would depict them coming out of Mary's backyard.
Is that another flying sperm?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. Yeah, there are flying sperm all over. There's one. That little sperm guy is going to miss.
Yeah.
It's going to go right past Mary and into the family over there. We got to change his a few degrees. Yeah.
The back of the blue line.
Yeah. But that's her cell back there. That's where she stays. Okay.
Letter.
A letter?
Yeah, well, or at least a greeting card.
Yeah.
You know, like, hail Mary. Put that in writing.
Homer.
Homer.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. That's probably. Yeah, that could be a Hallmark card. And it's Nigerian. I don't know if she reads Nigerian, but she's Nigerian.
What year is this?
This is not too long ago. You will find as Christianity makes its way into a variety of what were previously non-Christian, including things like China and South Korea, and almost all of Africa, all these countries, their Christianity in these countries seems to be a little spunkier than ours.
Colorful.
Yeah. Oh yeah, a lot more colorful, maybe more celebration, because now they can put the Christian celebration into their celebration and really make the whole process authentic. So this is Nigeria.
One of ours
among the masters. Hail Mary, full of grace, Mary is hailing. Mary is really pondering already. Pondering and happy while the angel sits across the table from her in her kitchen.
And why didn't you guys put in a lily for her?
It seemed like everybody was doing that.
But then you also have the extinguished candle, though.
That's a biblical thing.
Right.
Yeah. That's a biblical thing. One of the problems with the lily, it's not a problem, my gosh, I kept wanting to put lilies in, and there were no lilies that I knew of that made it into the Holy Land. There are varieties of lilies that you would kind of speculate, where is that supposed to be, what country is that thing, what area does that grow in? So I just stuck a daisy up there.
But it was also, if I recall, there's the difference in the dialogue between what we see and what the subject sees. We're accustomed to seeing symbol when we're seeing the subject, but this is what the angel sees.
Yeah,
not what we're seeing.
Two points of view in each of this particular set of images.
Mary is the primary flower as far as the angels.
She's the cover, and under in a bulletin, that would be on the back of the bulletin, rather small, with an interpretation of what we have in mind underneath that. Malawi. They are dancing.
Yeah. And we shifted from the Annunciation to the Visitation.
This is Mary and her sister. Gothic version
so
of
it. Wasn't Elizabeth.
Pardon?
It wasn't Elizabeth?
Yeah, oh, isn't that a sister?
No, cousin. Cousin. Yeah. Kin. That's right. That's right. Cousin. Excuse me.
Yeah, they, boy, there's a new book out by Elizabeth in which she is really, really ticked at God. You know, I mean, her son was the first to go, and, Jesus went directly into heaven, and her son got his head chopped off, and we thought everything was kind of nice up to a certain point. But El Greco, same theme. Let me hang on to that just a second, Matthew. We explained this last night, but it's really important for you to know. They are not touching. Those fingers are not touching. But they were at one time. The first version of this for Michelangelo was this line right here that is just touching. And so that finger would have all gone up like that. Michelangelo heard a hymn that was being chanted down below. And the gist of the hymn was the sevenfold gifts of grace, very, very famous hymn, by the way. The sevenfold gifts of grace are thine, O finger of the hand divine. So what is that space in between? Sevenfold, that's the Holy Spirit number. So that space is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, how are you supposed to know that? So you are now informed. Look for empty spaces around, and it might be. Okay. C.S. Lewis said that the descent from the throne of heaven to earth was made Jesus the diver. He referred to him as a diver. He dove off the throne and headed for earth, headed for Mary's womb eventually. So this is my interpretation of the diver. And so you've got the glory up above, and you've got the opposite of glory down below. And all of this looks kind of lumpy. I don't know if you can't make this out. This is pre-Braille. This is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The first chapter of the Gospel of John. And it is, you can read it, but it is raised letters. It's not the dot system that would come after this, okay? So it's, I've been doing a lot of illustrating of that with a very old Braille Bible that was just falling apart, resurrected it from a library dump, and now I'm doing a lot of paintings and theological stuff. We had a board member of the Grunewald Guild come, and he could read that. He could read that. And I have no idea. You have no descenders. So you have a flat line going all the way across. Nothing coming down to interrupt that, okay? And so he asked if I would do a painting of his favorite story in the Bible. And I said, sure. What? I mean, he was a board member. and he said, Pentecost. Would you do me Pentecost? I said, okay, next board meeting we'll have Pentecost for you. And so I did, you know, the flames, the disciples' heads, and all of that kind of stuff, and painted on top of this Pentecost narrative. Mm. And I hoped that he just didn't had it memorized so he could say he read it, mm-hmm. but he didn't. He could actually read it with his fingers. I was flabbergasted. So he went and had it framed, and about 2 weeks later he called me and he said, "What in the world do I do? I had a horrible experience. The frame people put glass over it, and now I can't read it." Do you hear that, people? Put glass over it, and now I can't read it. You got to know who you're talking to, because otherwise that makes no sense. All right. So there's a whole narrative about people who can read in a variety of ways, or who can see in a variety of ways. So you'll get these themes and stories coming at you from every direction. Oh my, Rembrandt. There's a shepherd boy kneeling in front of Mary. Rembrandt was the master of light and dark. This painting, Laura, are you ready? This painting is this big. Here is the Nativity. I love the Romanesque is my favorite because it's kind of dear. It's kind of they make things up. I'm all for that. And at any rate, this thing is about 45, 50 feet up in the air, so you can't see it. Done by one of the major sculptors of the time. A fellow by the name of Gisobertus. And they took this down before it fell down. Things were a little crumbly in those days. They took this and a number of others down and put it on a wall so that you could look straight on. But it's now down. And they put a replacement up there. Oh, this is it. Notice who we got here in the assembly. We got Mary, who has just been delivered of the baby. And this is, I think it is an angel, but most of the time it's Mary's mother, Anna. And Anna is washing the baby who has really shot up for being sick. Amazing. It's a miracle. And he's in a tub.
Who's behind the angel? Is that Joseph?
Probably. Joseph was always off somewhere trying to figure the whole story out. Yeah. Okay. There is a thing in traditional art, and particularly even in the Gothic, and where you have manuscript illumination, you've got a thing like this, which is, the style is called polyscenic, or sometimes even polyhistoric. There are many events happening as though they were all happening simultaneously. So here you have Mary just giving birth and having the baby swaddled. I love them. Those guys are so excited. And Mary is quite calm. She's sitting up and schmoozing the baby. They're like head to head having a conversation. Meanwhile, Joseph is one of us. You okay, Mary? But the story is Joseph went out into the desert because he was backing out big time. Yeah, I can't go through with this. And the angel went out to the desert and got Joseph and dragged him back. And it looks like he's recovering, but so very slow. Yeah, he's being a big baby.
Is that Elizabeth down there with her?
No, that's Mary's mother.
Oh, okay.
That's Anna, who in all of these paintings of this particular scene is always somewhere. It's grandma taking care of the baby, you know. And meanwhile, we got sheep over here and shepherds, and they're being serenaded. I mean, this thing is all over the Bible with the stories, all of it happening simultaneously.
The Reader's Digest condensed.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. Paper was expensive, so we put all of them on one sheet. Okay? Next. This is American. Is that ever American? Mm-hmm. The whole thing happened in a garage. that's not bad. That's not bad. But the whole, I don't know. I wish we could do it as nice as some other people do it. But it looks like they're little, like we had around the Christmas tree where you had the stand-up figures, you fold the flap out so you stand up. That's terrible. I mean, we try our best.
But we label it on top just in case.
That's right.
Well, we have Bethlehem in the background, though. Isn't that, aren't those Bethlehem buildings up on the right?
They are now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a whole scenario. The shepherds occurred, but the wise men came and took over.
Yeah.
Just like wise men. Okay? Oh, another one. It's okay. We are looking into the manger, into the cave of the manger, past the angels who have come. Okay?
And the subject here is the family.
Yeah, there's the whole family inside. Now here's what the family sees, all right? You get this kind of idea of the back and forth, and so now we've got the baby and they're looking past the cattle and to the angels who are peeking in on the other side.
And note, by the way, that that's drawn, that image on the right could be from the perspective of either Mary or Joseph.
Yeah.
Which is why the family is the subject.
I gotta tell you, none of this would happen without Matthew. We did one scene of Mary and the baby, and it had hay in it, and Matthew went down the road, he's got a handful of hay and put it on the computer thing and got it and wound up sticking, honest to goodness, hay into the painting. Fun. A lot of fun. Pretty comparable. This is Giotto. Giotto introduces us to the Renaissance, by the way, I think his specialty are angels. These angels are just having fits. They are so happy. And yet, when it comes to the crucifixion, those same angels are up there. And they are screaming bloody murder. They're putting their fingernails into their palms and dripping blood. They are just beside themselves. So the artist really concentrated on the angels. Okay. We got the whole thing there. We got a pair of hands. I'm not quite sure who they're fastened onto. But it could be God. It could be God the Father. We got an angel. We know what the angel is about to sing because here is the music. And we've got this is not Joseph. This is a saint. Probably, knowing the commission of this painting, probably a local saint. This is probably designed for a church that is named after this fellow right here. Okay? Michelangelo, who would go to any excuse to paint nudes, naked. What has that got to do with anything? But no, you know, I got empty space here. I'm going to paint naked people. I'm sorry, you know, artists are strange. The tondo became a very famous, a very well-loved format. The tondo is this big round thing. And you would see that form on architecture in the hospital chapel in Florence and things like that. Brunelleschi's buildings all loved to put that circle on, and so they used it in painting as well.
Put like backward numerals up there at the top. What is that?
The what?
Put the slides backwards, yeah.
Is the slide backwards? Is the numerals backwards? Are there?
Yeah,
so probably so. That's nice about round, though.
It's right side up?
Yeah, because the writing is backwards.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Oh, another one.
Yep.
Okay.
Another one.
What do we got?
And we did.
Oh, did. The view from the baby. In a box. Okay. See a cardboard box? No, not cardboard. In a wooden box. Well, that's a reindeer. Okay.
So the family saw the baby and beyond. So the baby sees exhaustion and exaltation.
Now, make a note. The Bible passage is identical for both of those. The last version of this and this version. So you can take any approach that is appropriate, but it sure doesn't have to be a kind of rubber stamp on what you want.
This is, by the way, one of the reasons that we came up with the dialogue is that the overall image gave us an excuse for people not to throw them away. But then after 3 years of doing that, we're like, how do we create another fresh nativity or fresh baptism of Christ or fresh this and that? And the from images, the images on the right, what the subject sees creates new opportunity for imaging.
Mm-hmm.
You're accustomed to seeing what's on the left, so those became fresh opportunities.
One other thought that you might not have picked up, we've got angels up going across the top, and we've got the hand of the baby down here. You'll notice that they both have stars in them. Okay? They are both newly from heaven.
Did you put those in or did they wear background?
I put those in, yeah.
Who are the two main figures there? I can't quite figure that out.
Mary and Joseph.
Mary
and
Joseph. Huh?
This is Joseph. This is Mary. Is that the two main figures?
Yeah.
Mary and Joseph. Like you never saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So they're new. They're strangers until they get introduced. That's why it's really important for you to ask, because that helps make sense out of the whole thing. Okay. That's a ruffle, I'm sorry. This is unfortunate. This is a Rembrandt, and the carriage, the little crib could have come from his house.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't find that in the barn. And the angel just thought it would drop in.
Yeah.
Okay. Nigerian. Elegant, so elegant, so proud. Joseph, in this culture, is capable, really capable. He's taken care of Mary. He's got the stick. That's wonderful. An Italian version, similar in a way, almost sculptural, but not as warm. It's kind of, she's not hugging that kid. Put some pants on or something. Do you see that?
That?
That's the Trinity.
Yeah. She's holding the baby.
Yeah, she's holding the flower.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. She is. There's your lily.
Yeah. Okay.
Or something. Beginning, early lily. Yeah. But you make the sign of the. I have been around a lot in Europe and other cultures, and it's interesting when they say, pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. People will lift up their finger to make the sign. Okay? Bellini, Italian, kind of post-Renaissance. We, Matthew and I, had too much fun with this because we were trying to figure out what is that? Looks like a dead horse. Or something, but there's a little guy back there sitting, and so you have to conclude that this might be ground, but it's dimensional, and so we can't figure that. We'll just let that go. Okay? I shouldn't even have brought it up.
How about the skull up on the wall, on the right?
Yeah. These?
Yeah.
No, those aren't skulls. Those are little angels.
Oh, really?
Little angel heads. Yeah. They look like. And they carry little wings on either side of them. They're
angel bats.
Angel bats. That's being so disrespectful. Where did you get that from? Okay. Are you familiar? With his work, this just a miraculous guy, a convert to Christianity, almost the only Christian in Japan, you know, and yet he celebrates Japan by having all of his people, you know, wrapped in Japanese cloth pattern. Before he got into illustrating Bible stories and was made a convert to Christianity, he worked in a fabric mill designing patterns. And the patterns were all made by cutting things out of like a waxed paper. And then you would lay that on and then pound the color over your stencil. All right? He made the colors. He actually made the paper, which is called washi.
Richard, who is he?
Anybody?
Who is he?
Watanabe.
Sadeo Watanabe. Okay. Died not too long ago, and had an opportunity to spend some time with him in Japan and in Tokyo. Absolutely a humble, delightful guy.
Now, we've gone through most of the session on a minimum of So okay. do you want to
pick it up?
Yeah,
let's pick it up.
Should we pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I know some of your favorites are later on.
Okay. Typical Renaissance approach. Okay. Not typical Renaissance, but this is Flemish.
De La Tour.
Yeah, Georges de La Tour. Really a sweet painting. Kind of like Rembrandt, only full color. Leonardo from the town of Vinci, who at the time seemed more interested in geology than nativity. and the guy was interested in everything. And some of these things would just intrude upon the thing he happened to be doing. He's not belittling the event. He says, in effect, all right, Mary, welcome to my world. All right? And here is John the Baptist, Jesus, Mary, and John's mom. She is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I believe this is Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that, you have to love that. Even the bird, I am sure that bird is not in there to represent the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I say it. I think they just were spending their whole life getting the Mary and Jesus right here. But that little bird is, for me, that's the Holy Spirit dancing with Mary and her boy.
Poor picture, but we've got details.
Poor picture, but we wanted you to see the overall layout. Let's go to the middle one. There we go. This is Van Eyck. No, is that right?
Van der Goes,
a lot of vans. And everything is kind of laid out flat for you, even though it does go into space. There are about four or five scenarios in here. One of them is a gathering of the angels, very well dressed for the occasion. These must be servant angels because they're not so
well-dressed.
Yeah, look at these up here.
Right.
And the busiest angel of the whole lot is this one swirling over what shepherds are left up on the hill. I told you to go to Bethlehem. Get out of here. You know, the angel is just swirling around Joseph when Joseph was an old man. Look at that cow. Is that a cow?
I think that's a cow.
I'm looking at an angle.
Yeah.
Angel here. These are orders of angels, aren't they? These are the royal angels. These are the next royal. These are
the peasant angels. They're the worker bees.
Maybe they're apprentice angels. Something like that. They're wearing their work gowns. And out of the upper right, you've got the shepherds coming. There are a whole list, I think a list of 10 miracles that are connected to this nativity story. The first miracle of Christmas is Mary believed. The second miracle of Christmas is the shepherds did what they were told. That's fascinating. That's no way to treat a baby, but that's what we got. Look carefully, and let's zero in on a couple things on the shepherds and this right down here, okay? That is fraught with meaning. Everything in here is symbolic. So the wheat, the sheaves of wheat, that's the bread, okay? This, especially this, we are talking about death. This whole thing is a forecast of the death and resurrection of Christ. The lily represents the resurrection, but these, and they're bleeding hearts of all things. Some of these are columbine. That and that black lilac. I haven't got that thing with me. Yeah, the iris and the lily. But everything is trying to make a statement about what's going to happen.
The vase also has the grapes on it too, it looks like. So you've got the grapes.
The vase.
Oh, yeah.
So the wine and the body and blood.
Whoa. Well, given the rest of this, you have to assume that it is something.
Mm-hmm.
That it is something that is literal, that you will help you describe what's going on. Let's see those shepherds. Here are four shepherds, and they're all lined up. They're in a hurry. The oldest one knows what's going on and knows to pray immediately upon seeing this scenario. The next one is probably paying attention to this guy in order to know what to do. He's got his hands out. He's younger, so he may not quite understand. This guy hasn't got a clue. You know, yeah. You know who he reminds me of? Lenny. In Mice and Men?
Yeah.
Hey, George. Wait up, George. Yeah, I just not with it, but he did what he was told. I love him. He is my favorite guy. More variety than you can shake a stick at of this single event. It's not really an event. This is what we call contra, no?
Sacra.
Is it? It is an invitation to come and hang with Mary. She's invited her favorite people to gather around. Yeah, that's what it's called. Sacra conversazione. Sacred conversation. It's tea time at Mary's place. She's got her major boys and her major cherubs and her boy Jesus, and she's conversing. Okay? Look at the variety of this. Now, some of these were commissioned by churches. And you will, if we are named, the church is commissioning this, is named St. George. You will put St. George in this painting, right? Okay? There he is, who is really quite a dandy. This is, I can't picture this guy with a dragon, but he's kind of fresh. But these are all biblical figures.
And this is another sacra conversazione. Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is Botticelli, who had a very sad life and took it out on Mary. Well, she is, oh man. Did I actually invite you people over here? I'm not quite ready. I have to go and diaper the baby. I love to paint, you know, draft little scenarios for these paintings because I didn't paint them. If anybody would do that to one of mine, I'd stomp out of the room. So, but here's another. Same lady, Mary, same artist. Another one. Now, why would you invite some of these people over to your house? Nice house, by the way. But this is John the Baptist, who is just swooning all over the room. Here's George on this side. This thing is just loaded. Saints, St. Paul, the angels in the background. What have they got?
What are they holding?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nails. This is nails.
And that's a crown.
And that's a crown of thorns right there. So Mary invited you all over for a really sad story. Okay. That's the gist of it. Look at, nobody is feeling good about this occasion.
What's he writing in the book for?
On the left.
Over there?
Yeah, that's lighter.
Yeah, he's...
he's writing.
I think that's Aquinas.
Tom's got a report.
He wrote a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's written theology.
What's on his hand?
Oh,
that spot.
Yeah, there's a couple of them like that. Yeah. They have that red spot on the back.
Jewel, right?
Looks like a jewel. Did they have stigmata?
That would be the stigmata. That would eliminate. That would eliminate that guy as a
part of this. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Masaccio. Masaccio was the guy that helped make a big leap from Gothic in the Renaissance, and he did it by concentrating on space. And he made space by building up layers so that they would receive overlapping layers that would go back into space. This is the presentation of the baby in the temple. Mm-hmm. That is Rembrandt. I like this Rembrandt better.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it looks like Simeon. Mm-hmm.
Simeon. That is Simeon. That's Simeon.
Yep.
And the baby. I love the way they wrap that baby. Mm-hmm. It can take a while, you know, to unwrap it.
That looks pretty good.
The
youth. I can't hear that.
The child, right?
No. No. A very famous Canadian artist by the name of Kurelek. Kurelek is one of my very favorite artists, mainly because he is so funny every now and then. He just has fun. Now, what happens if you're a little kid, mom's taking you to church on Christmas morning, and you stand there and have a little homage, and that's what the day is all about, and then you go up the stairs, and there she is in person with her kid, and you can tell who they are because they're emanating. They are showering gold all over the landscape.
Little boy is saying, look, Mom.
Yeah. It's her. This Kurelek was just wonderful. Although, he did a series that is in around Niagara Falls in a museum. And he's got the whole narrative of the Passion of Christ. And he is graphic when he displays the beating with a whip, and what Christ, I mean, it is just cruel, but very, very wonderful. Mary and the baby, yeah, well, it's show and tell time. She bought the big one. So, just hang on to your little cards. We're going to go first here. And let me tell you what I brought to Sunday school for you. It's delightful. It's just absolutely delightful. The church is over there. This is the school that's connected to the church. It's so country. You got to love it. And what has Jesus got in his hand? His orb. He's got his blue orb. You don't leave home without it. It's kind of like a MasterCard. But that is a royal sign. The kids are going to learn that in just a few minutes, if you'll give her some time. This guy is a handful. Isn't he? And this guy, you just want to slap upside the head. He's just too good to be true. This one guy wasn't paying any attention. How about this? A whole new story in the narrative of the Nativity. The family on their honeymoon to Niagara Falls. They're jumping the gun. This is for wedded people. Come on, are you married? Are you sure? Look at Joseph in the background, carrying the baby because Mary went over to the railing and Now, I could just go on and on like this forever, but let's face it, if the Holy Family could not appear at the Niagara Falls, then who are they? If they're holy, they can go wherever they want. All right? And this was where they thought they should be. not on their honeymoon exactly, but nevertheless delightful. Less delightful are the Romanesque Madonnas. These are stern. This lady is supposed to protect us from everything. They just ran right over God the Father and jumped. They ran over Jesus a little bit and headed straight for the Madonnas of this period in central France were strong, powerful, and driven. They are not looking to the side, straight ahead. And he looks a little like Julius Caesar, a little version.
Why would they not portray him as a child? Why do they always portray him as an adult in that era? A little adult.
Well, I personally can't tell you, okay. Except that it's not because they couldn't do babies. They knew how to do that. But the fact of the matter is, they wanted Jesus to be as powerful as Jesus was ever going to be. This is not a baby. This is Jesus. And that whole Christ thing makes you take liberties. Some of these Jesuses look like people you know. Where babies are all kind of looking the same. These guys are individual characters. Check this out. What's happening in art is happening also to Christian art. Just because it's Christian doesn't mean it doesn't go with the rules of how art is developing through Europe. So here you've got Duccio, an artist from the Gothic age, all right? Everything is in its place, stacked up like that, okay? No overlap. And the gold of her hem is meandering, but it is meandering up and down, not in and out. This is pretty flat, and there is a place for everything, and everything is in its place, okay? This is the next major, these three that I'm going to show you are painters that knew each other. And yet they were of a different persuasion. This fellow, Masaccio, understood what was going to happen with the Renaissance, and it was going to be the depiction of space, not just the flat, orderly thing, a place for everything in its place. It was going to be space. He carved out a basement under the throne so that we could create a space there. He overlapped the angels. Sometimes their halos are getting in the way of the angel behind them. So there's a tremendous difference between the two, and not much time in the history of art, not much time between the first and the last. And now the guy who...
Here comes Cimabue.
Cimabue Elk, yeah, thank you. Cimabue. And the next is Giotto. It's Mary is not up front. She's in a house thing. There is a whole space in there. And the angels are overlapping so much that they're wiping out some people in the background almost completely. Mary is a big volume, all right? And that means we are getting really close to the Renaissance. Okay? Let's go pretty quick.
Okay.
All right. This is from the catacombs. Yeah. What in the world are these guys doing in the catacombs? But they are there. Okay. Let's jump from the catacombs a couple hundred years and go to Ravenna. And we will go to San Vitale. And on this side you have a picture of the emperor and his retinue. On this side you've got Mary and her retinue on the other side. Well, no, it's not Mary, though. I'm sorry. The Empress. The Emperor's wife.
Okay?
Theodora. Do you see something on her robe? Look at him. Look at him. What? I mean, this is hundreds of years different this is Istanbul, not Rome. I find that fascinating how that thing, and these guys were from the East. So it's one of those little miracles. As far as art is concerned, this is the first person I fell in love with, right here. I mean, I had such a crush on her. and the Empress Theodora, see her crown with these things? Those are all actual pearls cut in half and embedded into the mosaic. But that is also very Oriental. That crown. It's almost looks Japanese. Okay? Three wise men in bed together. I mean, come on, people, lighten up here. You gotta love this. You can tell these are kings, you know, because they went to bed with their crowns on. That's how we know. In the middle of the night, an angel comes and starts messing with these guys. One guy happens to, luckily for him, have his arm outside the covers, and he's awake. The other two guys are still sleeping. Hey, Balthazar. Chill. Be cool. That is absolutely delightful. And this is one of those things that was up in the air so high you couldn't even see it. They brought it down and they mounted it on a museum wall so you can face it head on. And it is just wonderful. Ooh. Is this?
Rhodesia.
Okay, we've got the wise men coming to Rhodesia, bringing gifts. Here's one over on this side with gifts. There's another one. Is this another? Yeah, this guy's got a thing right here. Okay. This is the Medici family thinking that they are the kings, which they thought of a lot. So you've got Lorenzo de' Medici is this fellow up there at the top. Look at some of these toadies. Look at this guy. You just want to mash him more. Just hit him so.
He got the free home kit.
Except who's the guy in the far right?
The guy in the far right? This is the painter. This is the guy who painted, who thinks a lot of himself, too. Botticelli is looking out and saying, you got a problem with me? You got a problem? It is beautifully painted. The subject treatment is a bit ridiculous because you know the guys are he's being paid off by the Medicis. He was, by the way.
Joseph looks like he's had teeth
right now. Well, Botticelli came to do the painting, man. Come on. That's when you whiten your teeth. He does.
He's got one of those home kits.
No, he's got one of those. Flemish again, the wise guys, and they're coming from one of them there is from Africa. Beautiful. Wow. Really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. These and and totally respectful. This is wonderful. The wise men. The whole thing takes place inside a church, which is a little bit off, but the church wanted to be included. Okay? Look at the dogs. I don't know if this is the baby's first communion or look, they got a regular whole chalice for them. Mary is pure Flemish in this painting. Her look, her features are Flemish. They are just wonderful.
I think the baby was blessing the temple.
Yeah, probably. Now, you can just apply all the humanity you want, and you'll probably be accurate in your interpretation. Three wise men, Watanabe, they bought gifts. There are the three gifts put on a very Japanese little shelf thing in order.
And in reverse perspective.
The what?
And in reverse perspective.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Oh, well, it's just an awful lot. The Flemish artists just did detail after detail. This is Rubens. Rubens was painted at the same time in about a couple hours drive from Rembrandt. Okay? They worked in the same area, but they were so different. He was doing glory. Rembrandt was doing piety. There's a couple camels. It kind of looks like one camel with two legs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. You know?
This is from Sri Lanka, and it is the three wise girls bringing gold, frankincense, and bird. And they are dancing. It's about time we got three wise ladies. You know.
Why would their perspective be women rather than men?
Why would their?
Yeah, why would that? Is that a cultural thing that we would think of women rather than men?
I think women probably, at least, this is pretty recent, so I think at this time women had more of a say in how things worked than they did back in the Holy Land times. But in some ways, these are performers. These are, I don't know what the frug or the boogaloo or whatever they're dancing there, but they are having a good time on the way to the manger. Okay.
10 more, please.
Okay. Give me 10 more. We have a donkey, if you can make it out. We are going, Mary sitting side saddle. That's kind of hard way to make a big trip. China. A rest on the flight. Isn't that beautiful? Sadeo-san again. Just gorgeous. That is a checkerboard or pony. I don't quite get that. I think that was his pattern background that was just making a stencil out of this. Nigeria. Giotto. Look at what Giotto does to get us into the Renaissance. We have a wide base and a triangular image right in here, and that is repeated by the mountain in the background. So we have overlapping planes going back into space. We got an angel who it looks kind of like a flying MP. You know the MP is the military police at the gate. You know.
This way.
Joseph was neat there.
Rembrandt.
Quick. Absolutely quick. And this guy, Caravaggio, and one of the total rascals we haven't got time to get into his life, but to give you an idea of what a rascal is, he violates every law about composition. Like, don't split the thing right in two unless it's two different things. So he's got the angel here with this wing on this side, and this wing is coming straight at us, okay? So it becomes a line, and you line that up with the leg, you got this line going all the way from the top to the bottom. That is nasty. Shame on you. No, no, he is risking. He is trying to make an image that has Mary trying to get some sleep on one side with the baby, and Joseph is holding the sheet music for the angel.
Okay.
While right next to Joseph, they're all almost rubbing up against each other, is the donkey in the background. Look at that big eye back there. It is so... This is one of my favorite painters of all time, and what a hard life. We're going to see more of him when we get down to, you know, later this week. That's Colonel X, the flight into the United States. Isn't that wonderful? That is.
It's kind of Amish, then, isn't
it? It could be very Amish. Yeah, it sure could. It sure could. But nothing will stop. Nothing will stop them because they are emanating even in the snow. They got that halo going. Mm-hmm.